If I understand correctly, what I'm looking at is almost inception. We've got UWP inside the WPF talking to UWP, and it's all made possible because of XAML Islands.
That's it. We're using the Windows Community Toolkit to host UWP controls inside the context of a WinTorrent 2 application.
I think you'll want to find out more about this. Tune in. Hello, welcome to another episode of On.NET. I'm Jeremy Lickness. I'll be your host today. And with me, I have Alex and Miguel. They're going to talk to us about XAML Islands and the Windows Community Toolkit. But before we get started, Alex, tell me a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Hi. So I work at the PAX team, and we manage the Windows Community Toolkit, one of the things that we do. And we just released the Windows Community Toolkit 5.0 version, which does support XAML Islands, which is an API that Miguel's team is handling.
Sure. I'm Miguel. I'm working in the XAML team. I am the owner of this XAML Islands stuff and more things.
Very cool. So XAML Islands, as a developer, why do I even care about XAML Islands? What will they do for me?
So if you want to publish to the Windows Store, or if you just want to have a standalone UWP application, you have to write the application from the ground up. So if you are a line of business application, if you are an enterprise, and you want to leverage the code that you already have, you can do that, but you can't use the new controls that are available on the platform on Windows 10 in your WPF application or Windows Form application, any kind of WinTorrent 2 application. So by using XAML Islands, you can leverage those new controls, those new APIs that are available inside Windows 10, the newest version that you have, on your legacy code, on the code that you already have. So you don't have to rewrite everything inside the UWP platform.
So what we're talking about is we have controls that are available to us through the Windows Universal Platform, or Universal Windows Platform, I should say.
Yep.
And even if I'm a WinForms developer or a WPF developer, XAML Islands gives me access to those same controls. I'm not just constrained by the world that I live in, so to speak.
Even if you are a Win32 developer with your native with C++ application.
Okay.
Yeah.
So C++ application will plug in as well.
Yep.
So how does this work? How does it bridge the gap between these different technologies?
So in the platform, in the latest build, we have a XAML host API called Desktop Windows XAML Source that enable that you can put inside of each HWin any kind of UWP XAML content.
So an HWind is a sort of handle for a dialog or a window on the Windows system.
Yep.
And what you're saying is your host will inject into that and host the XAML controls.
Sure.
Am I understanding that correctly?
Correct.
Okay. And then these XAML controls, like what are they written on? How are they exposed and packaged and provided?
For a WPF WinForms app, you want to use the Windows Community Toolkit
Okay.
APIs, because it's going to make easier for developer to consume these low-level APIs. So if you are C++ native developer, you want to use the Desktop Windows XAML Source API, the low-level
Okay.
platform. But if you are WPF or WinForms developer, you want to use the new Windows Community Toolkit helpers.
Yeah. And those are available at by a NuGet package, a
Okay.
new NuGet package that is available at version 5.0. So all you have to do is add the correct version because we have a forms version for WinForms and we have a WPF version of the package for WPF.
Okay, so basically I install the NuGet package, I pick which platform that I'm going to use these from, and then I can start interacting with these controls. Now, how does that work, let's say as a WPF developer? Are these exposed to me just like XAML bits that I can drop into my designer and start using right away?
So since a few releases of Windows ago, we could already call Windows 10 APIs, but we couldn't host anything that was visual, right? So from your code behind, you can already reference a WinMD file. By referencing the WinMD files, you do have access to the button class, for an example, or even your third-party custom controls, which is the scenario that we want people to use. So on the code behind, you can have access to those controls. The wrapper control that we have, it's a generic control. You can host, using the fully qualified name, you can host anything that you want. It can be okay. just a button, just a text box, but it can be a fully customized control that the developer have. So you don't have to upgrade your app as a whole. You can just update, for an example, the login screen to use new animations and connected animations, and or maybe just add assigning, replace the details of a page with using the new in canvas that we have for Windows 10, which you can just use a pen with like one line of code.
Sure.
So you can leverage all those new APIs. But from the code behind, you do have access to which class was instantiated by the system. And that is already being doing by the Windows Community Toolkit. You just give us the fully qualified name, we'll try to create an instance of that, and we'll pass the handle back to the Windows XAML source, which is going to draw everything for you.
So basically, if what you're saying is, if I have an old WinForms application that didn't have pin support or anything like that, and I wanted to add that support, you've got to control that through this toolkit I can bring in and suddenly take advantage of a surface pin, for example, and
yep.
start drawing on the surface.
Yep.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So can you walk us through some of the controls or examples of what this looks like
sure.
for a developer?
So the first thing that you probably want to do is add the NuGet reference, right? So the ones that I have here for my sample app, since this is a WPF app, is the microsoft.toolkit.wpf.ui.something. In this sample, I'm using both the XAML host controls and the .controls package. The controls has a dependency on the XAML host.
Okay.
That's how everything works. So if you just want to render your custom control, you don't need the controls. The controls is it's a NuGet package that is already wrapping some of the most used controls, like the maps or the in canvas. There are four or five that we are sharing as of right now. But if you just want to use your custom control, then you only need a XAML host one.
Okay, so the XAML host is what enables this XAML island,
yep.
basically. So I install that, and now I can inject XAML, instantiate it, and use it. The WPF.UI controls is a set of pre-existing controls that are available to me. So like a map widget, I want to drop that in. I get that out of this reference.
Exactly.
Okay, fantastic.
So in order for you to use this control, all you have to do is reference it inside, in this case, your WPF XAML. So in my sample, let me show how the app looks. This is a simple WPF application with a frame. So I have the navigation. As you can see, this is the old WPF icon that we have. This is not the UWP app.
Sure. And by the way, this looks like something I might design.
Exactly. I'm not a designer, so this is the best UI that I've come up in the latest years.
It's probably better than any I've come up with, so I'll give you kudos for that.
So this is a WPF button, and this is a WPF button. But the button in the middle, that's a UWP button.
Okay.
So that's not what we want people to do. This is just an example.
Right.
Like the simplest thing that you can do. So you could create your own custom controls. So in this case, you can see that we still have the WPF navigation frame,
sure.
but the whole page is a UWP page. So actually, it's not the whole page. It's actually hard to see where one starts and where the other begins, because the first button that we have is a WPF button.
Okay.
So if I click on this WPF button, it is bringing me a UWP message dialog.
Okay.
So we can mix and match
my
as much as
blown.
We want.
So we've got a UWP button that's going to do something. You haven't clicked it yet.
Yep.
But we
yep.
have a WPF button that launched a UWP dialog.
Yep.
Exactly.
Okay.
This is the beauty of the things.
Yeah.
All right. Great.
You can mix and match. You can use the best frameworks. And we really don't matter. We really don't care. We want you to use the framework that works best for you.
Right. Makes sense.
So if I click on the UWP button, this is bringing me the WPF message box.
Gotcha. Okay.
And here I have a UWP text block and two image controls. So the interesting thing about these images is that I'm using the MS-APPX protocol, which usually maps to the the package where which I'm installed, right? So, but the thing is, I don't have to run my application inside a ULP package, a universal package, okay. Right? An MSIX package. I don't have to. I can just double click on an executable, and that process will be able to instantiate XAML islands. So by default, that's mapping to the current directory. So if you have your ULP application which have an as assets folder, and inside that folder you have an image, inside a ULP image, you would probably reference it using /assets/filename.png or whatever.
Sure.
But that's going to map to the executable current directory.
Okay.
So let me show you the code for this. It's not complex at all. This is the custom controls one, custom controls page. And again, this is inside my WPF application, not the ULP. So this is WPF XAML, not ULP XAML.
Okay.
So here I have my WPF button, which is just, we just have an event handler for the click event. And here I have my ULP host namespace, which I added, and I have access to it because I added a NuGet package.
Right.
And now I have my Windows XAML host control. So what this gives me is access to instantiate any type that I want. So in this case, the initial type name for this control is going to be the windows.ui.xaml.controls.button, which is the fully qualified name of the ULP button.
Okay.
So this is going to be a button. That's all that this is handling. This is also handling focus, because if this was something more complex, like a custom control, which had, like, I don't know, two text boxes, the system would handle the focus input. But the XAML, the Windows XAML host, it's what handling the focus from the WPF context to the ULP context.
So it's basically handling inside this island, it's handing off that focus so it works in a natural way.
Also, it's handling like tab when you press it. It's handling everything that we should care. So another example is sizing. In the case of a button, it has a minimum size. It has its own default padding and margin. And it has a content inside it. But if we had a custom control that, I don't know, had a timer, a dispatcher timer, which is resizing the control, how would the WPF world know that the ULP control size changed, right? So the Windows XAML host is hooking up to the right events. It's doing everything for us. We don't have to care what the size should look like. The system, these APIs are already handling that for us.
Okay.
The good
Makes
thing
sense.
Is this code is available in the Windows Community Toolkit. So if the people need to change some behavior, they can do it.
Exactly.
Right. So they have access to the source behind the behaviors that they're driving. Fantastic.
It's all open source. So this is the simplest thing that we have. But since this is a generic control, this object is not the ULP control itself. It has a child, which is the ULP control.
Right.
So in order for me to access that, I need to attach to the child changed event. And when I go there, I'm actually casting the child property of my ULP button, the handler, the Windows XAML host, to my ULP button. And now I have an access to that instance. And the interesting thing to notice here is that we're running on the same thread. It's not only the same process. We have a ULP control and a WPF control. They're all being executed on the exact same thread.
Wow. OK, so same UI thread across, across the board.
You can mix everything.
Mix and match. Very nice.
Which is kind of crazy, right?
Yeah,
that is.
So here I'm setting the text of the button, which is the content. And I'm also adding the event handler for the click. And I'm actually calling the WPF message box. This is not the message dialog, right?
Right.
So this is what all that this code is doing. And I could also mix and match with async code if I want to. Things just work
right,
as you expect.
Right, so the first code is inside the UWP control.
Yep.
And you're calling the WPF message box show.
Yeah.
The other click event is inside the WPF button that instantiated it, and you're using the UWP message dialog.
Yeah. Right? I have access to this message dialog class and the UWP button because I added WinMDs. I'm referencing the WinMDs from my WPF application.
Right.
So there is a, you can look inside the documentation if you want to call live tiles or any other Windows 10 API. We had that since a few versions of Windows, you could already call those APIs, but this new control allows you to host something that is visual, that is a control.
Nice, very good. So I can take my WinForm app or WPF app, and participate in things like updating live tiles inside the application, take advantage of the controls, yep. And that's the whole driving goal behind this is to be able to have that reuse across the board, whether it's modern apps or legacy applications. And then as a former, do I go back to Silverlight? We'll say a former WPF developer. Sure. One of the things I look at is, okay, this is great, we have nested controls, but we're probably building a large scale app using some pattern like MVVM, mm-hmm. right, and data binding to a view model. So does this bridge that gap for being able to, for example, data bind to controls?
Yeah. So the interface that we use for data binding when we want to use MVVM is the iNotify property changed.
Okay.
And the interface itself between WPF and WinForms is exactly the same. It's exactly the same interface. It doesn't change. The namespace is
right.
The same. So the two systems know how to hook up to the same instance of the object. So
right.
What I did here to implement this was I created a class library, which is actually a .NET standard 2.0 class library, which
okay.
do have access to the same interface, the iNotify property changed. So I just created a very basic implementation of a view model, implementing the property changed event. And here I have a text property, which is triggering my event, the property changed, and things literally just work. I have a basic implementation of a relay command, very, very simple. I have the interface here, and since this interface, this view model can be shared between the two controls, between the two worlds, WPF and WinForms, I can have a regular binding from my WPF world to an instance of this object. And since they are all happening on the same thread, I can have an X bind from my UWP world to the same instance of that view model. And things just work.
Amazing.
So let me show you an example of that.
Okay.
I have here the bindings. This is a little bit tricky to understand what's happening. So this is a UWP button.
Okay.
This is a WPF button.
Okay.
And everything after that is a UWP custom control.
Got it.
Right.
Okay.
Inside the UWP custom control, I have a text box with a header. And we can't see it yet because I haven't typed anything, but I have a text block here. Text block, which is doing a two-way binding. Everything is doing two-way binding to the same property. And I also have a button, which is binding to the command.
Okay.
The
right.
click event, it's binding to the
I'm
command,
I'm still with
right?
you.
Yeah, okay. So if I type something, for an example, here inside my WPF text box, it just pops
all
up.
The bindings are going
all the bindings
through
just
all
work.
The layers.
Yeah.
Wow.
It doesn't matter if okay. I'm using a custom control or if I'm just hosting the object itself. Things are just working, right?
Okay.
So if I click on the button, that's triggering the command, which is just changing the text property to button clicked. It's also adding an item to an observable collection, and we can see, because I haven't clicked enough times, like we click a lot of times here, and now we have a lot of items inside this list, which is a UWP list, doing binding to an observable collection.
Nice.
So that's it. It
so
just works.
So my takeaway from this is just what you said, it just works. I'm in a WPF app. I'm bringing in a UWP control. I can still data bind same way I'm used to, the same patterns that I'm using for my host application. But I get to take advantage now of that suite of controls, and maybe I have something that's shared in other applications and other models, if you will, that are using UWP.
Yep.
That's pretty amazing.
Things
so if I wanted
work.
To find out more about this and see samples of this in action, where can I go? How do I find out about it?
So there's a blog post that's coming
okay.
That's going to detail everything you need to know, and it's a deep dive. You get a lot of details on that, but the documentation itself is very good, which helps how to set up the whole environment, how to set up the projects for you in order to actually access the WPF, the ULP controls from the Win32 world. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah, some caveat about this technology. Oh, yeah. This is a pre-release.
Okay.
So there is still some scenarios that are not working, and we are working right now on fixing all these scenarios. For example, we only support 100% DPI. Narrator is not working with the UWP content. So sometimes some pop-ups scenarios are not working as expected.
But okay.
This is a pre-release, and we encourage everyone to use the pre-release to starting to prototype the things.
Right. So start using it, figure out kind of what's working, what's not, give you some feedback so you can stabilize it and get those into the final release.
Yeah. We are actively working in this next release, just trying to fix the majority of the scenarios.
Okay. That sounds great. So we'll put the link to get the toolkit to the blog and to the docs and the show notes and get that for everyone who's viewing this. Anything else you wanted to share that we didn't cover before we wrap up?
Very quickly, so everything that I showed is either custom controls or system types. So if you want to use that other NuGet package, the .controls one, this one wraps the controls for you. So
okay. In
case you want to do that, inside the WPF application, all you would have to do is this. There's no magic. Two lines of code to add the in canvas. That's because that's the wrap control. I don't have to handle anything else.
So this is a WPF app that normally wouldn't have access to that ink control,
not
basically.
Not the ULP.
And you've pulled it in directly, and that's what you were drawing on.
Yeah.
Right. Fantastic.
And as you can see, just works. With touch coming from the WPF.
And the ruler
being mapped,
too.
Yeah, and the ruler to everything. So it's the same control.
It's exactly the
same thing.
That's awesome. Very good. Well, thank you so much for coming out and sharing this. As I mentioned, we will put the show links out for installing the toolkit, reading the docs, and there's a blog post that should be available when you're viewing this. This is XAML Islands and the Windows Control Toolkit. Appreciate you.
Thank you.